Welcome to Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. Thank you for joining us on the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. Now, here are your hosts, Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones.
From the Cavaliers Radio Studios at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse in downtown Cleveland. Hi again, everybody. Welcome to Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. Boy, we've got a fun show coming your way here in the next hour or so. We will hear from another one of those guys in Jim Jones's Black Book. Rick Mahorn is going to stop by and pay us a visit. He'll settle in to the Legends chair, and then a little bit later on in the program, you hear him during Tito's nightcap recap when the Cavaliers are on the road. Brad Sellers, he's going to join us to talk a little Cavs basketball as well. Jim, always a pleasure to be with you on Cavs HQ. And boy, between Mahorn and Sellers, I think we're going to hear some stories tonight.
Yes, you will. And it'll be made for TV so the kids can listen. It'll be clean stuff.
Let's take a minute before we take the break and talk about this Cavs season. Somehow or another, they're battling through all of these injuries, and J.B. Bickerstaff deserves a lot of credit for keeping this team together.
Yeah, he does, and he's gone beyond the call of duty. Who could have foreseen seven people out, and you lose your backcourt the other night against Utah, you lose your center, you know, who's played at an all-star level and an all-pro level. J.B.'s done a fantastic job because he's kept them competitive.
All right, we've got a busy show upcoming, so we'll take a timeout, and when we come back, settling into the Legends chair will be Rick Mahorn. Of course, we know him from his days with Detroit, part of that Bad Boys team that won a couple of NBA finals. So we'll hear from Rick following this on Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams.
Cavs HQ is brought to you by Sherwin-Williams, the official paint and coatings partner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And by Huntington. If you need guidance on your money right now, talk to Huntington. Welcome.
And we welcome you back to Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams, Tim Alcorn, Jim Jones. And yes, he has settled into the Legends chair. Well, we've had some terrific legends that have made themselves comfortable in the Legends chair, but his first appearance on Cavs HQ, Rick Mahorn now joins us to talk a little NBA basketball. Rick, as always, a pleasure to have you with us. And I know you're just thrilled to be with your good buddy, Jim Jones.
He's real thrilled. I'm still sleeping, but I guess I'll do it now, since now y'all throwing me in the Legends chair. I see how it is now, Jones. I see how it is.
Hey, now, Rick, we've had some legends in the Legends chair. We're talking Norm Nixon, Bob McAdoo, Spencer Haywood. So, you know, you're in some pretty elite company right here.
You want to know something? That means I done took second chair to some bums. No, it's a pleasure to be behind those guys. Those are I always look at all the former players and players before me as foundation guys and real guys that taught me how to be an NBA player. And Jim Jones it's been the best one ever, because that's when my career started to elevate.
Well, as you look at the NBA today, boy, how much different is it than when you were running up and down that hardwood?
Well, it's a lot different. Players like Jim Jones and myself, I mean, Bob McAdoo would have been the best person for this league now, but
yep.
Please, back then we were in the painted area. We always had to play the more physical guys, Lonnie Shelton types, Bob Laniers. But it's changed a lot. But you know what? It's fun to watch if you want to keep looking at the three ball going up.
Jim?
Well, Rick, one of the things that I want to talk about is your rookie year with the Washington Bullets. And I want to we have Bernie Bickerstaff's son coaching us. Was he around holding his father's pants leg when you were with the Bullets? Do you remember JB?
Oh, I remember JB, I remember Cindy, I remember the whole family. And that's the funny thing about it that we see in the NBA, that I see, you know, your son's working, my son's working for NBA teams. Yep. And it only just branches out to make us a big family. And I remember JB. Every time I see JB, if he don't call me Mr. Mahorn, I think I can smack him upside his head. But I ain't trying to do that now. I'm too old. I'm ready to. I can't even run fast no more. But I'm just so excited about how we as parents can allow, open up the doors for our children to try to carry on the legacy. Your daughter's working within the organizations. At Bobby Dandridge's daughters, when you meet these young people, you go like, I remember when you had a snotty nose and you was crying. You was crying for your mama. But those are the fun things.
I know my daughter told me. My daughter told me you said that.
well, you know, Charles, you know, you used to say, I remember you telling me one thing. Somebody said, oh, you're going to be a Mahorn head. You the Mahorn head. And she started crying. I was like, I was insulted.
Oh, you shouldn't have been. You shouldn't have been. But, Rick, I will tell them the one story about Gene Shue. Do you remember how me and you used to always have just playful fights? And you remember the time we were going up the escalator in the Washington Towers in Seattle, and you moved, and I was at the top, and you were at the bottom, and you grabbed me by my pants leg from behind and tore my pants. Remember when I waited for you at the top, and we were WWFing all over the floor and rolling around, and all the players just walked past like nothing never happened. Then all of a sudden, remember when Gene Shue came over there, and Gene Shue was our coach. He looked at us and kept going.
Man, you know what, Jones? We've had some, oh my gosh, man. Listen, you talk. I remember my first year coming in the league, Wes Unseld, Big E, those were iconic guys on our team. But then when we traded my second year and we traded for you, I learned so much between you and Spencer Haywood. We'd be in conversations at times, and y'all would include me. And I'm sitting there going like, dude, this is only my second year in the league. And it's like, oh, shut up. You've been here before. Don't worry about it. I was laughing, man. It was funny.
Yeah, well, Rick, you were that good. You were way ahead of the curve.
All right, Rick.
Way ahead of the curve.
My natural follow-up question is, what's the best piece of advice that you got from Jim Jones?
Oh, my God.
Oh, be careful now. Be careful now.
He was the most handsomest guy in the NBA. Every time we would play teams that he played for, they would always do this Crusher thing. And I'm like, well, who the hell is Crusher? And next thing you know, they're like, yo, and then he's going to walk next to me. That's my stage name. But no, the best piece of advice that I learned from Jim Jones is that every day that we would be in practice, he would teach me more things about being a better player. Because where I came from a Division II school, a historically black college, Hampton, it was more of teaching me the ropes of how to play different guys, how to, you know, make sure that you know, defensively give them some space. This guy couldn't shoot. Don't be up on him. This guy was, he loved this spot. So those are the things that could never replace that I miss now in the league, the veteran leadership of teaching younger guys how to be not only pros but professionals on and off the court.
That's great advice. All right, we're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we've got a lot more to go through with Rick Mahorn. He seems pretty comfortable in that Legends chair. Great to have him with us on Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams.
Get past the people, get past the hitman!
Oh, my. Marty Allen over on the other side of the window, keeping this show revved up. Great to have you with us on Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. Tim Elkhorn, Jim Jones, and the Legends chair is Rick Mahorn. Jim, that's one you could probably just sing right along.
Yeah, I probably could. In fact, I probably used to do the two-step. Rick took me to a club out near the Air Force Base. Remember that club called the Classic?
Oh yeah,
and I know the class. Yeah, and Rick took me out there one time. But I'm going to tell you a violent story right now about how rough These two guys were the most physical guys since probably the 60s and the 70s. And they were Rick Mahorn and Jeff Rulin. Jeff Rulin was a Golden Gloves champ out of New York City that just happened to be 6'10", and as he would say, knock your ass out. And he and Rick were best friends, and to this day, still best friends. And I remember specifically how they used to set blinding picks. Do you remember up in Portland when Lionel Hollins was on defense, and he kept coming around guarding Frank Johnson, and you stuck out your butt. And you remember you hit him so hard. Do you remember four of his fillings, four of his teeth, Tim, fell out and rolled on the floor like dice. And we looked down, and Rick said, with a few other expletives, Jones, look at his teeth. And they were spinning all over the floor.
You know,
Rick,
you know,
I got it. How did your big butt knock somebody's teeth out? That's what I want to know.
I kept telling Train, stop following our guards. Just let them go ahead and shoot. Because if you don't, I'm gonna have to serve you up a few. And I didn't think I was gonna serve him up a few teeth. But till this day, Lionel Hollins always tell me thank you, because that's when that's why his teeth look so white and clean. So he said thank you, God, that you did that, man. But it was, you know what, the game of basketball was so physical, and I mean, would watch it all the time. So, but it was the fact that, look, it was survival. And playing against teams like having Jeff Rulin as my henchman, because I've had a few henchmen in my career between Jeff Rulin, Bill Laimbeer, Charles Barkley. You always kind of pair up and kind of size up with guys. But Jeff Rulin was my alter ego, big old white dude, and then a big old black dude. So we used to have a great time. Still do.
That's right. Tim, I'm going to let you have the last phase, but I got to tell this one Jeff Rulin story. We were playing Phoenix. Alvin Adams, one of the nicest people in the world, outstanding center they could have played today at 6'8", had a 40-inch vertical. You know, very smart. Jeff Rulin set a pick on Alvin. Alvin got mad, which he never did. Wrong time to get mad. He turned and faced Jeff Rulin. And Jeff slugged him with one of them short arm punches to the face. Do you remember that, Rick? And knocked him. That's the first time I've ever seen a player get knocked out instantly. He fell back on his head and he was out. They took him off the court. He was still sleeping.
You know, if you messed with Jeff, or somebody messed with Jeff, you had to mess with both of us. But Jeff took care of himself just like I did.
Rick, Jim has alluded to the fact that, you know, you started your career in Washington. You had 5 years there before you moved on to Detroit. And, of course, that team, the Bad Boys, as you mentioned, Laimbeer, Isaiah, Dumars, the whole group, I would think that's what you're known for. How will history judge that team?
You know, we don't get the due respect. I mean, if you're not the flashy team like the Lakers, and I'm not nothing against you, Crusher, but the Lakers, the Celtics, that was more of the norm when you would see teams like that, Philadelphia. But we were one team that we didn't have guys that had to average 30-plus points in order for us to win. We had a group of guys that in the collective group, at any point, one of those players would get hot and help you out. So I always consider the Bad Boys one of the best teams, the top five teams to ever win a championship in the NBA.
I agree.
I was glad to be a part of that, because Jones knows you can't get it unless you're in the game, and we were in the game.
That's right.
And we got a chance to beat one of the best teams with the Lakers.
And I mentioned all those outstanding players, and certainly Chuck Daly played a huge role. Talk about your relationship with Chuck, if you could, Rick.
Daddy Rich, I was talking about him the other day, one of the sharpest, well-dressed men in the league. But what set Chuck away from a lot of coaches is that he would put the onus on the players. So it wasn't like he had to do a lot of things to keep us accountable, because we were professional enough to know that if this guy is not doing it, he needs to, you know, step his game up. Chuck was more of the guy that orchestrated how he would do a three, you know, you see three guards on the court, and you're going like, why has he got three guards on the court? What happened to the traditional small forward and the power forward and all that? So a lot of things have changed where we played defense like nobody's business, and because we knew we weren't going to be able to score as elite as other teams, but we made sure that physically we were going to beat you down and we were going to win the game. So Chuck Daly was just instrumental in just making us accountable.
And, of course, you know, the legendary Jordan rules. What'd you think of The Last Dance?
I ain't watched that. Oops, I could. Oh, my God.
we can edit it.
I'm sorry, but I ain't wasting my time. I wasn't wasting 10 hours of my time to watch that crap.
Fair enough. Jim?
Well, but, you know, one thing I want to say about Rick, and sometimes his fame doesn't really tell you what kind of player he was. Rick was a rookie. And I thought I was going to start. Here I come from a big championship team, and I'm going here. I got experience or whatever. And Bernie Bickerstaff and Gene Shue, I guess they thought I was going to be upset. But they came up to me and they said, look, we got something special here between Jeff Rulin and Rick Mahorn. We want to start both of them. Is that all right? I mean, are you having a problem with that? I said, no. I said, start him. Man, because Rick, I was tired. I was an undersized center. They had wore me out over the years. And I was glad to see Rick. I'll tell you one more story. We're playing the Boston Celtics, and we're a young upstart team. Some of our veterans were myself and Kevin Greavy, but not many older guys. These were young kids, Frank Johnson, Rick, Jeff Rulin. And I remember that we got into a fight. Rick got into a fight with someone. Maybe I think he was beating up Kevin McHale, and then someone else came, and they were all moving out of the way for Jeff. And I remember that I got off the bench, and I went down to the other end, and I was getting ready to get in there because I wasn't going to let nobody mess with my babies. You know, those are two of my kids, and, you know, they would get sucker punched. So I go down there, and I'm getting ready to go in the fight, and somebody grabs me around the waist, talking like Elvis, come on, Jimmy. Let's me and you stay over here and watch this. Come on, let's don't get involved. And he put his arm around me, and I couldn't get away. And then all of a sudden I turned around, it was Larry Bird.
Yeah, we, you know, at the physicality, I mean, the incident that happened the other night with Boogie Cousins and Markieff Morris, I said, you know what, I missed those days. Those are days where you could get fined $250. Now you get fined $35,000. That's your check for the year.
Hey, Rick, before we let you go, I want to transition to the present. Just real quick, from an outsider's perspective, what do you think of this Cavs roster when it's healthy, obviously?
I was impressed when we played you guys the other night. I mean, when you have a Kevin Love, a healthy one, your team can do some damage. I think McGee was a great addition for your team to back up Andre Drummond. But what impressed me about your guards, man, I mean, Garland and Sexton in the backcourt, they may be small, but they're quicker than fish grease. I mean, they're just fast, and they push the basketball. And I like the way that J.V. Bickerstaff is more opening up the court for those young guys to let them learn on the fly. So, I'm always going to be a diehard red, white, and blue Pistons fan, but I still got friends with Jones and Austin Carr and even Campy Russell, even though I wanted to beat him up when he was with the Knicks. I still just feel that I have, you know, I have love for them, but still it's going to be that little stab in the heart that I don't want to see the Cavaliers win nothing.
Well, hey, on that Rick, note, Rick, that's... Rick.
Hold it. We got to ask this question. Rick, can the Pistons be one of seven? 7 through 10 are going to have a play-in to the playoffs.
You know, having 11 to 12 new people, only 4 from last year, it's going to be tough for us to get into that kind of a mix. But this year is more of a learning year because we have some great, to me, we have some nice rookies that are on the team. I love Sadiq Bey. I love Isaiah Stewart. I love guys that just want to come out there and compete. So, you know what? Give us another 10 to maybe 15 games and then come back to me so I can get on that Legends chair, and then I'll give you my assessment.
Rick will keep the chair warm for you. There you go.
All right. Make sure you leave the lights
on. Yeah, we'll leave the lights on for you, as Tom Beaudet said. All right. Hey, this has been a lot of fun. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you on down the line then.
No problem.
Thank you, Rick.
I'll expect my watch, my other stuff in the mail, but we're good.
Okay, send that address. Send the address. I need the address.
Yeah. All right, okay. Guys, man. Good luck.
Rick Mahorn in the Legends chair as part of Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. We'll be right back. As the Cavs strive to be champions both on the court and in the community, we are proud to support local nonprofit organizations through our weekly 50-50 raffles presented by Oswald. This week's raffle will benefit the Cavaliers Community Foundation and its efforts to support charitable organizations right here in Northeast Ohio. For complete 50-50 raffle details and to purchase your 50-50 raffle ticket, visit Cavs.com/raffle. Thank you, Cavs fans, for being the diff in our community. Cavs in the Community is brought to you by Discount Drug Mart. We'll be right back with more Cavs HQ presented by Sherwin-Williams. Welcome back to Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. Tim Elkhorn, along with Jim Jones, and another member of the Cavaliers Radio Network now joins us. Of course, you hear him on Tito's Nightcap Recap when the Cavs are on the road. Brad Sellers joins us to talk a little Cavaliers basketball and perhaps another topic or two. But Brad, as always, great to have you with us, and certainly a lot to talk about, and let's kind of delve in with this Cavalier basketball team. The rash, just this conclave, this torrent of injuries. As a team, as an organization, just how do you battle through that, just mentally, number one?
Well, I think it requires a great deal of luck, good management. Obviously, at this time of the year, or any portion of any season, you're going to come across injuries, but it's how they're being managed. Your medical staff, making sure they're on top of their game, making sure the players are doing what they're supposed to do to make sure that they put themselves in a position as far as strength and conditioning and rehab to make sure that they're hitting all the marks, checking all the boxes. But, I mean, it's just unfortunate that it's hitting us early, right? And obviously we've been down, but we've shown well at times, you're right? And so I hope that this trend reverses itself so we can get back to playing the good basketball that we were playing early in the season.
Brad, as one door closes, another one opens, and certainly there's been several guys that have been given opportunities for playing time now with those injuries that have just accumulated. Who's opened your eyes? A guy or two that really wasn't anticipated to see a lot of playing time, but now that they've been out on the floor, has kind of impressed you?
Well, I tell you what. So when I think about that, you know, JaVale McGee is one guy that, you know, I didn't know really what to expect. You know, you saw glimpses of his ability and other places he has stopped. And I will tell you that his minutes that he's gotten because people have gone down, he's shown me some things. He really has shown me some things. And I would think that given the right rotations, people back at bay, it could be a place or a position that he may be able to excel at as we move forward. I will also tell you that when I look at the complete team, I think that Jetty Osmond has shown some ability here to be able to do some things that maybe to help us going forward. But the guy that really steps out and stands out most is Damian Dotson. And so him obviously has spent some time in New York. He's really made the most of his time, right? And I think he's left an impression on everybody here. He plays hard, plays smart. He's really a two, has had to fill in at the one. He's done a very admirable job filling at the one. Mm. And then Jimmy, in the words of my old teammate, Sadell Threet, You let a fool into the party, right? And that's what would happen when somebody would go down. That's and right. You give somebody who didn't get a chance to play a time to play, and they take advantage of it, right? And so I say that because there have been many people in this league that have taken advantage of an inopportune moment for them to step in, and some have not relinquished and given it back. And so Damon Dotson has probably made the most of his time with the Cavaliers in this scenario.
Yeah, he was sort of a unique pickup because everybody knew that he could score. But Brad, I didn't know he was 6'5", and he is. He has great height. In fact, he looks like he's just as tall as our rookie Okoro. So the unique thing about him is everything that you said. But I was looking at Drummond for the last three and a half games.
No doubt. There's no doubt.
He's been
Jimmy,
Brad, I can't compare.
We can go to the post with it. We can go to the block with it with a game like that. And if you know how to play this game, right?
Yeah, who can you compare him to, Brad? No one.
Listen, we're going back, you know. I could drop it in. Well, Billy Cartwright could not board like Andre Drummond, right? His glass ability, just by the sheer numbers that he grabs, is Rodman-like, right? Who's running around here grabbing 18, 20, 21 rebounds? Who's doing that, right?
Against anybody, everybody.
Here, in this game here, it is such a benefit to this organization to have a player like that. Now, a lot of these kids have never played with a true post, Jimmy, ever, right?
I know.
And if you have never played with a true post, it's an acquired taste. And once you understand how to work with that, you're even that much better. The other thing is we have size. We can control and patrol the paint, right? When it gets down to playoff time basketball, you better be able to control the interior. And we've got guys that can do that, like I said. Andre Drummond has just been outstanding, and he's made the most of his time. Obviously, he's in a year where he's looking for a contract, right? So
yeah, he's playing.
You got to play hard, and I think you're getting that out of him right now.
And Brad, the other thing is that Bickerstaff's got his hands full because people don't understand. Remember the zones we played in high school were just the zones so we could rest for offense.
Yeah.
well, in our league, you burn more energy playing zone than you do man-to-man. And that fatigue factor and having to play so hard because you're a young team with inexperience and then the rash of injuries. From your perspective, what is Bickerstaff looking at? What is he trying to do?
So I think JB's trying to find a good solid rotation that he can count on. Right now, we've been dealt with these hands of injuries, so we've had to floated a couple of nights, see what we really had, right? And that's why I say guys have an opportunity. So don't ever come back to me and tell me you didn't ever have an opportunity here. You had opportunity to make the most of it. The second thing is we hope to get healthy. Because, Jimmy, I think when we are healthy and we discover what we have, because this is a discovery period. We get to discover exactly who you are. You can't tell me it. You're going to show it to me. And if you show me some things, JB comes from a family that understands this game. You know, I played for his dad, Bernie. Right.
Yeah.
And Bernie knew one thing. He knew how to rotate a bunch of players in. I'll go to my Sonic roster. Right. When I was there, myself, Sean Kemp, Dana Barrows, Dale Ellis, Derek McKee, Michael Cage, Nate McMillan. And these were guys that were, we had a multitude of forwards. Right. Everybody's fighting for time. And he knew how to rotate people in and out to keep them fresh and give people their minutes, and you learn to make the most of it, right? And so this is what when I look at this is almost Sonic-like to me, Jimmy, when I look at it.
That's interesting. Jim, we got to get a break in, Brad as well, but we'll take a timeout, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Brad Sellers. Of course, you know him from the Cavaliers Radio Network as he joins us each week on Tito's Nightcap Recap, or each road game, I should say. We'll hear more from Brad after this on Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. We welcome you back to Cavs HQ. It's presented by Sherwin-Williams. Tim Elkhorn, along with Jim Jones, and our very special guest is Brad Sellers. And Jim, before we took the break, you were about to ask Brad a question, so I'll let you pick it up from there.
No, I'm just going to have you add that to his moniker, Mayor Brad Sellers.
Well, that's true.
And the reason why is because of the transformation of going from being an athlete and of course a businessman to now mayor of a city. Brad, what's happening with your people and the virus that's holding this country right now?
Well, Jim, I try to, make sure that everybody knows it's exploding out here. I mean, I don't think there's a place in this state. There's obviously no place in this county that is not exploding, and everybody's just trying to hold it at bay as best as possible. I mean, they are projecting, if you've seen the latest projection, they're projecting 1 million people dead by May 1st. And the number's so large, I think it is, folks are numb to the number, right? If you think about that, that's 12 Brown stadiums. So if you think about that, I think the state is and is trying to do the best it can as far as preparing itself. I know I think the plan, as I hear it now, is going to mass vaccination here probably by the end of the month. Right. So those folks that want to get vaccinated, because that's the only way they feel now that you're going to be able to beat it back. Right. Because you can't do it in this rollout way that we've been doing. You've got to beat it back by getting more and more people vaccinated. Now, that means that people have to do their homework and figure out if it's something they want to do. Right. But if you just look at the data, and I get a report daily about the number of explosions here in this city, just in my city. Right. And I can trace it back to the beginning. And, I'd get a report, Tim, with 6-7 people on it. I see a report now, it's got 60 people on it, right? And that's what comes in here daily, right? 60-70 people, right? Mm. And these are confirmed cases, right? And this is, I think the virus has mutated a bit. You see it impacting my Ohio State Buckeyes. You see it impacting the Browns when they were getting ready to play Pittsburgh. And it's out here, so there's not a place in the continental United States that is not being impacted. It is something that we all are dealing with and trying to figure out our way to get to the light at the end of the tunnel. But I think it's coming, but it's going to require that everybody be on the same page going forward.
Now, Brad, you mentioned the mass vaccinations that will be coming. Once that comes to your city, Warrensville. Is that something that you as the mayor, not you individually, but the local government will then put in the logistics, or how will that be handled?
No, so I think the county is working with it to it's the county and the hospitals that are doing it. Because, I mean, Tim, you're at such a scale now that it is beyond the local CVS and Walgreens or entities like that, Rite Aid, trying to handle it. They're going to do some, but the explosion is so severe that they now think that the mass vaccination sites are where they're going to do basically drive up, get a shot in your arm, and keep it moving, right? Because that's all they can do, right? Because if you wait for people to schedule, walk somebody in, it just takes too much time. The rate of explosion inside the body politic is at a rate that can't keep up to the demand, right? I mean, to what's being out here. You could just follow the numbers every day that they get out here. These aren't made up numbers. I watched my own reports coming here. It's pretty much spot on line. I mean, there were, I think it was 4,500 cases here in Ohio. Mm. No, excuse me. It was 6,000 cases in Ohio yesterday. I'm sorry. Almost 6,100 cases here in Ohio yesterday. Wow. 6,100. There used to be a number like 200, 300, 400.
I wanted to ask you, because I applaud and I commend this life path that you've taken to go from athletics into a leadership role and a government role. So my question is two parts. Number one, what led you in that direction? And secondly, are there parallels between athletics and government and leadership?
That's a great question. So I can tell you this, that I think I would be sitting in this chair that I'm sitting in now. No. Absolutely not. But was I prepared for it? I would say indirectly, yes. My parents were community activist type folks, and so I had a knowledge of the community, of this community as a kid growing up here, and then as I went on and was able to do some academic work at Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin, and Ohio State University, I think, and my journeys across seas really prepared me for at least a global view. But I would tell you, I was really blessed as a kid, because I was mentored and shown a great deal of direction from guys like Jim Jones, Campy Russell, Austin Carr, when I was all growing up here. So I would see those guys more like just guys on the street, you know. They're like, that's how I kind of knew them from a young age, right? And so they were always guys that set a good example about what it meant to be just what a man should be in the community, right? And so I took that in like a sponge, soaked it in like a sponge, and then just tried to carry myself like that. And then when I retired in 2000, the door to Marsha Fudge, who's going to be soon to be the new Secretary of HUD, was the Mayor Warrensville who invited me into a meeting to join her staff, and I didn't think I was going to do a job like this, because I was coming from a job that had Jimmy real high dividends in it.
And then sacrifice, I went to government brother, work sacrifice.
That has very low dividends. but the beauty of it is in the reward. So once I reconciled that, I was like, here, the benefit was.
That's the return on investment.
On the opportunity I was given as a kid.
That's the return on investment.
Yeah.
Jim, we got time for one more.
Oh, okay. How are the girls doing?
The girls are doing fine, Jim. Obviously Sydney's got a son now who's about to turn 3, and so I try to make sure I shuttle him to school every day and pick him up in the evening. And then my number 2, Sierra, is about to graduate from Thomas More College in Northern Kentucky, where they went 33-0 as a sophomore. She went 33-0 and won the NCAA Division III title. And then I've got my number 3, Shayla's at Purdue Fort Wayne, playing in the Horizon League with Cleveland State, YSU, and Wright State, and just to name a few,
Indiana,
they're getting their heads knocked, but she's learning. She's learning and enjoying it. Started every game of her career. She's in her second season. And then my youngest, Cheyenne, who's headed to Maryland here in June, which I caught a lot of flack from my Ohio State brethren. But she's headed to Maryland on a basketball scholarship to play for Brenda Fries and the Terps. And so looking forward to that. And she is they've been a joy, Jimmy Fitz. It's been a great time for me to be back home in Cleveland.
Well, Brett, I know your beautiful daughters, and they're all well-mannered, highly intelligent as you. And the thing I just want to say, I'm so proud of how you turned out. One of the advantages of getting older is that you get to see how people turn out. And I remember you, Brad, with a weighted vest in 90-degree heat, running up Emory while I was in my black... when I was in my 450 SEL black on black smoke windows Mercedes, and I see this 7-footer coming down across the way with a weighted vest on in 90 plus heat, I said, that boy's going to be a pro. My wife said, he's going to kill himself first.
That's a visual. I was dreaming a dream. I used to see all the Cavaliers in these nice cars. I was like, man, that must be nice. And it was just mannerable. Jimmy and Campy and Austin and Campy's brother, Walker D. I mean, they're just mannerable people, right? They just always, Bingo, all them guys, right? Footsie, right? And, you know, I tell people this. As a kid, you know, a lot of them grew up, were living in the apartments in Warrensville when I was growing up here. In the high rises, right? Right, across from Randallwood. And I would see them all the time. So if you can imagine seeing LeBron James and Kevin Love and them every day, right, at the park, playing outside for free, right, that you could go out there and watch. And then if you sat around long enough, they might let you in the game when they were tired at the end, right? And so that's how it happened for me. And so I never took that. And Jim knew my mother, and so my mother was always big on academics and trying to make sure that she raised good kids. And I'm trying to do the same with mine and make sure that they're cognizant of what's going on in this world and know that this game that we play is something we do. It's not who we are, right? And so – but while you're doing it, do it at a high level. Right? And so you're going to transition to that and be community-minded in some aspect going forward. And so Sierra's going her way to applying to law school here in the fall, Jimmy. So,
oh, my goodness.
I mean, in the spring. Brad, I'm trying to get them on the right way.
There you go. That's the greatest return on investment when your kids do well.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Awesome. Brad, great to have you on. We appreciate it and look forward to hearing a lot more from you as the year unfolds on the Tito's Nightcap Recap.
Well, you know, Mike and I will be on the backside of you guys, so we enjoy your call every night and you get us teed up, and so we're gonna finish this out. But so far, I like what I see with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes,
I
do.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Brad Sellers joining us on Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. Tim Elkhorn along with Jim Jones. Time to put the finishing touches on this one. Boy, a huge thank you to our two great guests tonight. Of course, Rick Mahorn earlier in the program, he had some awesome stories, and Brad Sellers. So a great big thank you to those two. And of course, as far as our production is concerned, a lot of thanks to pass around. Of course, the dynamic duo on the other side of the window. That would be Marty Allen, along with Kurt McLaughlin. Thanks to Leo Simone. And of course, a great big thank you to one Jim Jones, because that black book of his just keeps coming up with some unbelievable guests. So, Jim, a great big thank you to you. Of course, we'll be back Monday. That'll be our next edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. That's going to be a very special show on Monday, so you're going to want to stay tuned to that. The biggest thanks, of course, goes to you, the listeners. We hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Sherwin-Williams. For Jim Jones, I'm Tim Elkhorn. So long, everybody.
Cavs HQ was brought to you by Sherwin-Williams, the official paint and coatings partner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and by Huntington. If you need guidance on your money right now, talk to Huntington. Welcome.